The first scripture reading today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 1 to 9 in the Hebrew Bible. It may be found on page 622 of your Pew Bible if you would like to follow along. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The word of the Lord.
Our gospel this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, and it can be found on page 837 of your Pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River, to John the Baptist, to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me to be baptized?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. And when Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And lo, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved child with whom I am well pleased." Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So our scripture from the gospel begins, as you may have noticed, with John the Baptist protesting Jesus's baptism. That might seem a little strange, but if you recall from what was happening just previously, we talked about this in Advent, John was calling people from all over the countryside to come and be baptized as a repentance for sin. It was about changing the way that you lived. It was about deciding to make a U-turn from a life of selfishness or sinfulness to a life of righteousness and virtue. And you know, from that understanding, I think John was right to question Jesus, because if there was anyone in the history of the world not to need a U-turn, it would be Jesus. Maybe John's thinking, "Ah, yes, this is it. Finally, the Messiah that I have been preaching about and preparing for is here. And if he gets baptized like some regular old sinner, what's that going to do to his reputation? That's going to kill his movement before it even gets started. I mean, people don't want to follow someone with a scandalous past. They want to follow someone who is inspirationally good." think we can imagine ourselves sharing John's thinking. If we think about all the political campaigns or the CEO tenures that have been completely derailed or ended by the revelation of some scandal in someone's past. We like our leaders to be paragons of virtue, and John is worried that this is going to ruin the whole thing. But Jesus insists. Why? Why insist on something that is going to put him behind before he gets even out of the gate, which is going to bring a question mark about his reputation? You know how these things travel. People who weren't there to see it actually happen, they're going to start talking, and there are going to be rumors about this Jesus who maybe had some kind of a sketchy past and needed to be baptized just like everyone else. Well, it turns out that there is more to baptism than just repenting from sin, changing your mind, changing your ways. And I think Jesus wanted to clue us into this broader understanding of this rite and ritual that so many of us have gone through. As Jesus comes up from the waters after his baptism, a voice, God's voice, says, "This is my beloved child with whom I am well pleased." Jesus changes the template for baptism, not merely a fresh start going forward, it becomes a reminder of what has always been true since the first days of creation, that we are God's beloved, and that God finds us to be good. This might not seem like such a radical statement, except that when I think about a lot of the pastoral conversations I've had over the few years that I've been here, and when I think about the broader state of our mental health as a country, I don't think we really believe that we are beloved. There is actually a mental health crisis in the U.S. Over 45 million Americans experience some kind of mental illness, and many of those include depression and suicidal ideation. And it keeps going up year after year. U.S. suicide rates are at the highest level since World War II. And our life expectancy is dropping for the first time since World War I. And that's in part due to things like drug overdose and suicide. Now, there are a lot of factors that go into that, including access to wealth and being targets of oppression, but it just shocks me. It's something we don't talk about, and I think it's at least in part because at some deep level, we do not think we are enough. We do not think we are good enough. And we get trapped in vicious cycles of thinking, in illness that feeds off of that doubt. Yesterday was the International Day of Awareness for Human Trafficking. And it also was the feast day of Saint Vitalis of Gaza. Has anyone ever heard of Saint Vitalis of Gaza? Me neither. Someone I follow on Instagram, Meg Hunter-Kilmer, posted about Saint Vitalis yesterday. And I want to read from the caption that she wrote describing his story. "Happy Feast of St. Vitalis of Gaza," she starts out, "a hermit, a Christian hermit who spent the last years of his life with a different prostitute every night." A 7th century hermit, Vitalis lived in the desert until he was 60, when he moved to Alexandria to work as a day laborer, earning only enough to hire a different prostitute every evening. The Christians of Alexandria were not unreasonably appalled by this behavior, and they denounced him to the patriarch, kind of like the archbishop of Alexandria. But however often they complained, the patriarch insisted that they mind their own business. Unable to stop Vitalis' behavior themselves, they could do nothing but treat him with disgust. Then one day, Vitalis was killed in the street, perhaps by a sanctimonious, overzealous Christian, we don't know for sure. And at his funeral, dozens and dozens of former prostitutes, who at the time would have been considered more in the variety of trafficked out of really difficult economic circumstances than perhaps what we might think of as sexual liberation, people who were out there doing what they wanted to do as a living. All these former prostitutes came to his funeral to mourn, and each testified that they owed their well-being to him. Because Vitalis would invite them to spend the night with him, and then he would hand each one all the money that he had earned that day, and he would say, "Here's your money. I want to buy you for one night with no relations at all." Then he would pray with her, and he would offer to arrange a marriage or to find a monastery for her and to work until he had earned her dowry so that she could become financially independent and no longer have to work in prostitution. "Why are you doing this?" they would ask. He would answer, "Because you are loved. You are worth more than what's been done to you. You are worth more than what you have done, even. And Jesus died to try to tell you how deeply beloved you are, because Jesus delights in you." Every night he did this for years, all at the cost of his reputation and ultimately the cost of his life. When I think about Jesus's willingness to be baptized, despite the fact that it was a ritual well known for sinners, when I think about all the ways that he let rumors spread about him and all the questionable people that he hung out with during his ministry, when I think about his death on the cross between two thieves, mocked and belittled by those who held power and who told others who was virtuous and who was not, I think Jesus gave up his reputation too, that we might know that he delights in us, and that whatever might have been done to us, whatever we might have done, whatever toxic stories we have been told or that we tell ourselves, we are good. And when we know that, friends, I think there's nothing that we can't do, nothing that we can't get through, and no one that we can't also share that love with. Amen.
Live tomorrow's life today. I think what that means is live the life of the kingdom here on earth, on earth as it is in heaven. The way that we imagine that we will be loved by God and love one another in the hereafter, let's live it today and here and see how things might be changed if we live as though we truly are God's beloved. Go in peace.